We are now at a point where if a Republican resigns outright, they could be handing over power of the House to the Democratic Party. And I just think it's an extraordinary story to watch.
Welcome to the Powers That Be Daily, Puck's podcast focused on the intersection of Wall Street, Washington, Silicon Valley, and Hollywood, and the players who run it all. I'm Peter Hamby. It's Wednesday, March 27th. Today, I'm joined by Abby Livingston to talk about whether control of the House could actually flip back to Democrats this year if enough frustrated Republicans call it quits before the election. It would be historic, yes, but it's not crazy to think that it could happen. And later, Lauren Sherman is here and joins Ben to explain why Gucci is under fire. We'll discuss all that and much, much more on today's episode of The Powers That Be. Are you tired of sleeping hotter than hell? I sure am. I sleep hot. There's something crucial about sleep that eludes us when we're too warm, too uncomfortable, and too caught in the web of our own thoughts to drift off. And while curiosity fuels our days, science tells us that cool sleep recharges our nights. That's where Chili Pad by Sleep Me comes in. Meet the bed cooling system that elevates the quality of human life through cool sleep. The Chili Pad bed cooling system is your new bedtime solution. I love it. It lets you customize your sleeping environment to your optimal temperature, ensuring you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. Chili Pad works with your existing mattress. It's a water-based mattress topper that continuously controls your bed temperature from 55 to 115 degrees, allowing your body to rest and recover. This isn't just about escaping the heat, it's also about optimizing your sleep for better health, more energy, and improved physical and cognitive performance, which I obviously need hosting a podcast. Chili Pads are designed for one or two sleepers, so if your sleep partner likes to sleep at a different temperature, or you only need it for one side of the bed, that's okay too, and we know that's crucial. Plus, you can schedule automated temperature changes to trigger deep sleep. But when I'm at home, Chili Pad solves those problems. So trust me on this one. Visit sleep.me/powers to get your Chili Pad and save up to $315 with code POWERS. This offer is available exclusively for Powers That Be listeners and only for a limited time. Order it today with free shipping and try it out for 30 days. You can return it for free if you don't like it with their sleep trial. Visit www.sleep.me/powers because you're not just investing in better sleep, you're creating a better life. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome to The Powers That Be. I'm joined today by my pal and colleague, Abby Livingston, who I frequently collaborate with on The Best and the Brightest. Please sign up, check it out if you haven't. Abby is our resident expert on Congress, the House in particular, and Texas brisket. Can I say that? All manner of Texas stuff. You don't like brisket? You're not a brisket person?
I'm an okay brisket person. I'm more of a Mexican food person than a barbecue.
Great.
So that's kind of where I go. I will not turn brisket down.
You know what? I'm kind of with you. Bring out a margarita, some chips, some queso. I'm a very happy boy. I want to talk to you about Congress, Abby. Marjorie Taylor Greene last week introduced the feared motion to vacate. She wants that MTV against House Speaker Mike Johnson. Obviously, Matt Gaetz was the guy who filed the motion to vacate against Kevin McCarthy. It eventually worked after a lot of chaos. Then there was more chaos that led to the election of Mike Johnson as House Speaker out of nowhere. How serious is this? How is Johnson responding? I mean, are we going to end up with the kind of House chaos that we saw last year again?
So Friday started out as a pretty good day for Mike Johnson. He managed to help avoid a government shutdown. He's done this several times since he took over. But as the dust began to clear, that happened, and a series of other things that made it a very horrendous Friday for the House Republican Conference. I think it's still too early to tell how serious this is, but I think back to the summer of 2015 when Mark Meadows filed this sort of thing with John Boehner and Boehner was gone. I don't know how serious this is, but this is becoming a very unstable House Republican conference. And what the other big thing that happened was a congressman from Wisconsin named Mike Gallagher, who had already announced he was retiring, said he was leaving outright. And that is putting this margin in big, big jeopardy for Republicans. And we've gone from resignations earlier this term that were sort of basically people who wanted to go make money and do something else, or were just sort of sick of Congress. We are now at a point where if a Republican resigns outright, they could be handing over power of the House to the Democratic Party. And I just think it's an extraordinary story to watch.
Yeah, I remember the Senate has changed hands a few times in my lifetime. I remember the Jim Jeffords deal back in 2000 or 2001. But Chad Pergram, longtime dweller of Capitol Hill, the congressional correspondent at Fox, did a little Twitter thread about this very topic a couple days ago. And he said, control of the House has never changed in the middle of a Congress. But if it's going to happen, the 118th Congress is ripe for that possibility. Abby, you don't have to get into like hard numbers because the sort of size of both caucuses is like always mutating. But is it likely that we could see more than 1, 2, 3 Republicans retire between now and November?
I think the number one thing to think about when considering Capitol Hill is just the failure of the imagination. And so anything could happen that could change these numbers. There could be a COVID outbreak that keeps people out from votes. And so this is just a very strange circumstance. And it does feel like we are starting to get in fantastical West Wing episode sort of scenarios, but this is where we are. And I think that the rest of the federal government is going to have to start organizing itself around this instability. And the point I've made in The Best and the Brightest is the Senate, I wouldn't quite call it lackadaisical, but the way they received the House's TikTok bill did not translate to me with any sense of urgency. Mike Gallagher was helping to deal with the TikTok regulation on the House side, and he's not going to be there when they come back with a bill to try to square it away with the House. So, and he's one of the more stable members. So things get a little less stable at the House of Representatives with each passing day.
That's a continuing theme of your appearance on this very podcast, Abby. I know. But you're not wrong. And it's important to really, really stress what you said. That's something I fundamentally believe about DC in general, is that there is a failure of imagination. You know, things happen that we can't consider. Abby, thank you as always for your insights. I see you're wearing a Texas Longhorn hat.
Hook 'em horns.
Here, hook 'em. You a Texas X? That's what the Alumni Association is called, right?
I am indeed a Texas X.
I love that.
Yeah, we lost over the weekend, but I'm a proud Longhorn.
Texas X's is the best alumni association name in all of academia. Abby, thanks so much. Talk soon.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
When we come back, Lauren Sherman is here to talk about Gucci.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Landy here in the studio live with Lauren Sherman, our fashion business correspondent. Lauren, great to have you here in New York.
I'm so happy to be here, Ben. Thanks for having me.
We're both in town for our new-ish partner, John Oron's belated launch party for his new sports business newsletter, which is pretty exciting.
I'm excited. I love sports.
Yes, me too. Did you enter into the Puck March Madness bracket?
No, I wanted to, but I'm too competitive and I don't know enough. And I was like, I'm not going to be able to make educated decisions. So I just opted out. But now slightly regret it. You didn't do it either?
I didn't do it either.
They wouldn't say what the prize was. If it had been like a $500 gift card to Saks, I might have done it. If it's Sweet Green gift card for $25, I'm not sure.
I promise we're not going to talk about sports here today. Mm-hmm. Lauren, we're going to talk about fashion. And specifically, I want to talk about Gucci and Kering, the French mega conglomerate whose stock plunged last week, 10% or more, billions of dollars in market value wiped out, after Kering reported that it expects a major slowdown in sales overall and specifically in China, particularly a loss in profit at Gucci, which makes up something like 2/3 of the parent company's profits. That sounds super bad, but tell me more about what is going on over there.
Well, a lot of the analysts have switched from market perform to buy. So what I said was it's going to get worse before it gets better. So Gucci, which is Kering's biggest company, and it is also its biggest area of growth. They want to make it into a $15 billion a year business. It right now is a $10 billion a year business. Its biggest competitor, Louis Vuitton, is over $20 billion a year. I think it's $22 billion last year. So they want Gucci to be the Louis Vuitton of their group. Louis Vuitton is owned by their arch-rival, LVMH. But they're in a time of transition. The company, the overall group, has had a lot of changes with creative directors, including Gucci. They had this very popular creative director, Alessandro Michele. He left the business after his business had started to slow and he was kind of at his creative wit's end with it. And so they separated at the end of 2022. They have a new designer, Sabato De Sarno, who started technically in May of 2023, but really in September of 2023, when he showed his first collection. There wasn't very much time to make that first collection. And the stuff that Sabato made has not landed in stores fully yet. So many of the stores look like old Alessandro, or they have kind of the in-between time product. And Sabato's stuff is just trickling into stores now. So Kering's really confident that Sabato is the person to take this brand from 10 to 15. But it's going to take a little more time. And so they issued this profit warning to say to the market, look, we're not totally ready yet.
Do you think that's true, that Sabato is going to be the right guy in the long run? Because the sort of narrative out there is that one of the reasons that sales are potentially weak or expected to be weak is because something about his designs, or maybe him himself, is just like not catching with consumers in the same way, especially in China, where, as you pointed out, they really loved the sort of extravagant Alessandro figure and his designs. Is there something about his successor that's just not as hot?
So I would say I'm bullish on Sabato, because I think the decision they made for a brand that big to have someone who designs more straightforward, clean, pretty things that are easy to wear, that are very slick, that is what a larger brand needs to be. And Alessandro, his whole thing is like wacky, tacky beauty. And that was really, really big in China 5 years ago. That being said, the Chinese consumer changes faster than any other consumer set. And there are, you know, 10, 15 sets of consumers within the Chinese consumer group. So I think there's an opportunity there, but it hasn't picked up super, super fast. Maybe they had anticipated that it wouldn't, but it hasn't been a blockbuster success the way Alessandro was when he got to Gucci. It was a very different situation. The stakes were much, much lower. And the one thing I do know from intel, from talking to people close to the group, is that the new stuff is selling really well in the U.S. They just didn't make a lot of it. And I know from analysts and retailers that Gucci actually limited the amount of product that retailers could buy for this first collection to sort of ease them in. And I personally know a lot of people who have bought shoes and bags, and that's obviously anecdotal, but the accessories are really good. And so what I want to say is that, yes, it's going to be okay. And I think, like, these people are know what they're doing. They didn't make this decision quickly. They chose this person because they think he's the right person. And they're going to stick with him for a couple years. It's not going to be like, in 3 weeks, we're going to hear some big change. And I actually also talked to some people connected to the activist investor group that went after Gucci last year, and Kering in particular. And those people said they're still super confident in the Kering management, that they're going to be able to see this through. And the guy who is running Gucci now is the former CFO of Kering and is François-Henri Pinault's, one of his closest confidants. So I think it's just taking a minute. But it's really hard when you're such a public company and you have to be constantly communicating about what you're doing, and you also are on the public markets, to be able to kind of work things out in front of everyone.
Yeah, well, it's got to put the fear of God in you when you're the company that employs you loses like billions of dollars in a single day. You can feel that pressure on. Lauren, speaking of Alessandro, speaking of Kering, speaking of big changes, you also reported this week that Michele might be headed to Valentino. You've been picking up some tea leaves that maybe this is happening. We've been charting his movements for a long time. The rumor mill has been swirling for months. Valentino is another brand that Kering has a stake in. They're not full owners, but they've got a stake. What are the data points that suggest to you that Pier Paolo Piccioli is getting exited at Valentino, and why do you think Alessandro might be headed in?
You know, it's interesting. I talked to someone close to all these companies who said Pier Paolo should have been like a Karl Lagerfeld. They should have just kept him until he died. He is a part of the soul of Valentino, and they should have built the business around him. I don't know if that's necessarily true, and Valentino's in a different situation than Chanel. It's owned by a private equity firm called Mehula, which is part of the Qatari cash engine. So it isn't in the same sort of hands as Chanel, which is owned by the Wertheimers, which have owned it since the 1920s. It's not the same situation. And Kering is looking at Valentino as a huge opportunity. I think they did 1.5 billion euros in sales in 2022. And so it's a huge, huge opportunity for Valentino. Could be a $5 billion business. It is now really, really reliant on apparel. And at one point, they did have a very fast-growing accessories business, and that could be ramped up quite quickly. Who knows why Pier Paolo actually left? I don't know. Maybe he decided to leave. Maybe it was mutual. Maybe it was just time, and he felt it and they felt it. But when it comes to something like Kering, and you know, they have the option to buy it outright by 2028. And as we know, these sort of two-step deals typically do end up happening. If they want to take it to the next level, they need someone to put a spark in it and inspire people. And Alessandro Michele, he might not be the right person to get your brand from 10 to 15 billion, but he's the right person to get your brand from 1 to 5 billion, because he just makes stuff that people love. It's not for everyone. It's like sort of insane, the clothes and the accessories, but it makes the people who love it really, really love it. And so it makes a lot of sense. I know for a fact that he has a job. He was consulting at least a bit for a company. He wants to be in Rome, where Valentino is based. Very few fashion houses are based there at this point. And if he's okay with doing business with Kering again, it makes a lot of sense.
You wrote the other day that Alessandro is a guy who likes to draw a lot of inspiration from the archives, which is something he did really successfully at Gucci. And it sounds like, you know, Valentino obviously has decades of designs that he could draw inspiration from too. So maybe that's the right fit.
Yeah, I think the Gucci archives are so different. They're really based in, there's a lot of florals in the Gucci archives, and there's also a lot of stuff around luggage and horse bits. And there's like a lot of hardware in Gucci that he was able to pull from. And just the archives are much longer. Valentino's only been around since the 70s. But it would be really fun to see what he takes from Mr. Valentino's. Well, he's not Mr. Valentino. He's Mr. Garavani. But from the designer's sort of oeuvre and interpreted it in his own way. I think it'll be really fun. And, you know, I hope it's true. I'm getting sick of tracking Alessandro.
I know. We've been on the Alessandro beat for a long, long time, so we're excited to see him finally land somewhere.
Yes.
And then you can keep writing about him, Lauren.
Well, exactly. And also, there are just so many things up in the air right now. There's not a designer at Givenchy. There's all these big talents who are just sort of floating around. Sarah Burton, is she ever going to end up anywhere? We have no idea. But if one thing happens, maybe it'll set off a bunch of changes, especially if someone in the LVMH or Kering group moves to a different spot, and then the dominoes will really fall, and that would be fun, because it is where we've been in a sort of hurry up and wait period for the last 6 months, and I think everybody's ready to see some change.
If people are interested in all of this, and they should be, it's totally fascinating, make sure you're signed up for Lauren's newsletter, Line Sheet on Puck. It is fabulous. Lauren, so great to see you. Thanks for being here.
It was so nice to see you, Ben. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to another episode of The Powers That Be. As a reminder, The Powers That Be is the official podcast of Puck. We'd like to thank Ben Landy, Liz Goff, and Alex Bigler for their editorial and production guidance. If you like what you hear, please share with a friend. It really helps us keep delivering the inside scoop that only Puck can offer. Follow us on Twitter at Puck News. I'm Ben Landy. See you tomorrow. This has been a presentation of Odyssey. Please listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes wherever you get your podcasts. The Powers That Be Daily is executive produced by John Kelly, co-founder of Puck, Bob Tabador, and Ben Landy, executive editor at Puck.